Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
I so appreciate them. But welcome to Resurrection Sunday at Calvary Temple. Welcome to the day that we celebrate. See, today's not a day of mourning. I don't know what you came expecting today. I don't know what the way that you've treated Easter or Resurrection Sunday in the past. Okay? I don't know what you expected. Everyone treats this day a little bit different, this look different, and this season a little different. I don't know what your background is with Christianity or with church. It doesn't really matter because we're all celebrating the same thing. We're celebrating a risen King. It doesn't even matter how you feel about the season itself. See, I've run into people that don't like Easter. Not necessarily the resurrection, but they don't like Easter. They don't like Easter bunnies. They don't like the candy. They don't like the baskets. They don't like all that kind of stuff. Listen, I don't care how you feel about the season itself. Easter bunnies, chocolate, eggs, fun family get-togethers, whatever it is. You know what I do at Easter? I celebrate two things. I celebrate the death and resurrection of my Lord. And I celebrate Reese's chocolate eggs. Hallelujah. Come on now. See, that's the biggest amen I've had in weeks. That's what I celebrate. Listen, there are some things that I do mourn at Easter, okay? My mom is probably watching today. They're down in Foley, Alabama. There are some things that I mourn at Easter. One of the things that I mourn is some of the outfits that I was forced to wear on Easter. Now, listen, we joked this morning, and I called Easter what we call church prom. Everybody puts on their best, okay? And I remember when I was probably 6, 7 years old, so it was probably late 70s, early 80s, okay? I mourn the fact that my mama, God bless her, I love her, but she made me wear this green, now I'm not talking about light green, I'm talking about dark green. Dark green with the white stitching. You know what I'm talking about, y'all? Y'all remember that? White green leisure suit when I was about 5 or 6 years old. Made me take a picture with my next door neighbor, Leslie, because they thought she was cute and we needed to get together. At 5 years old, y'all. Mama, y'all need help. But the thing, I mourn the fact that I had to wear that outfit. I mourn some of the other outfits, but that's the one I remember the most. That dark green leisure suit with the paisley shirt. Come on now. Now see, back in the 70s, that was going on, y'all. That was styling. That was nice. But you put that on a 5-year-old in the 80s? No. Come on now. Nah. But I mourn that. I mourn the outfits that I had to wear. Listen, I like getting up early to do some things, but can I just, and y'all are going to think I am so unspiritual right now. I mourn the fact that I had to get up for sunrise services. I'm not a morning person. Apparently neither are y'all, because about half the group that's here wasn't here when we started this morning. So, I love y'all just as much, okay? But listen, I'm sorry. I mourned getting up. I do not like. Listen, God was awake at sunrise, and that's fine. But he'll be there when I get up at 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock too. So it's okay. But see, I mourn the sunrise services. Now, I do mourn the pain and the suffering that my Jesus went through. I do think back, and I know I've been joking around a lot this morning. I'm excited. Can y'all tell? I told Amy on the way home Friday night after our Good Friday service, I can't wait till Sunday because I get to celebrate. I could not wait to bring y'all this message. So I'm a little excited, but I mourn the fact that he suffered. We can't forget the cross, church. We can't forget the cross when we leave this place on today. See, Easter is not a season. It is a lifestyle that we're supposed to live every single year or every single day. We're supposed to remember the sacrifice that he gave. We're supposed to remember the pain that he went through. But we're also supposed to remember the fact that he rose on the third day. We do a night of remembrance on Good Friday simply so that we can remember those nights. We do communion on those nights so that we remember the Lord's Supper and so that we take the bread and we drink the cup in order to remember his body and his blood. We remember all of those things. I mourn how creation held its breath on Saturday, awaiting the return of its beloved Creator. We're silent where it was silent all day Saturday. Friday, there were trials. Friday, there were shouts from the cross. Saturday was silent. We celebrate. See, today is not Good Friday. Today is not Silent Saturday. Today is Celebration Sunday. See, today is not Good Friday. It's not or Silent Saturday. Today we celebrate because the weight of the moment 2,000 years ago when some ladies walked up on a tomb. That's why we celebrate. We celebrate because things are not as they expected them to be. They expected to walk up and find death, but they found something different. They found something different. Can I say it one more time? Because preacher's talking triplicate. They found something different. They walked up and expected to find death, but what they found was life. They expected, see, listen, we celebrate because the weight of an empty tomb is greater than any weapon that our enemy can throw our way. We celebrate because it is greater. The weight of an empty tomb is greater than the sin that the enemy tries to ensnare us with. It is greater than the guilt or the condemnation that he lays on our shoulders. It is greater than the mind games that our enemy plays. It is greater than anything because the empty grave outweighs them all. Can we give God a shout of praise? Pastor Aaron, you are about 10 minutes into your sermon and you ain't even said nothing but screaming, hollering, shouting about an empty grave. That's because I'm excited. I don't know how y'all can sit in your seats right now. Right now, I'd be running around. Yeah, come on. I just noticed something. I snort when I laugh sometimes when I'm up here. Please excuse me for that. Listen, in the scripture we're going to read today, it's in Mark chapter 16. If you got your Bibles, turn there for me. Mark chapter 16. If you don't have a physical Bible, that's fine. You got one on your phone right here. It's just as easy, just as holy, just as powerful. But open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 16. And this day, but see, this day that we're celebrating today, this day that we're in right now, did not start as a celebration day. It didn't start as a celebration day. There was a discovery that was yet to be made when the dawn broke that morning. There was a weight in the moment, but it was an oppressive weight. See, the empty tomb is a light weight. It's a weight that is light on us but heavy on our enemy. But that morning when those ladies woke up, when those ladies started walking towards that tomb, when they woke up with a heavy weight on the side of their heart. It was painful. It was burdensome. In verses 1 through 3, it says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices. So that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Let's pray. Father God, let my words be few, your words be powerful, and let us understand the weight of an empty tomb today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. the weight of the tomb was on the ladies that morning. Not the weight of the empty tomb, because they haven't discovered the empty tomb yet. It was the weight of the actual tomb that was on them. These ladies were not looking forward to what they were about to do. The Sabbath had passed. Sabbath was on a Saturday back then. That was their time of rest and relaxation. It was the time for them to remember the work that that God did, and to rest on that Sabbath day. It was supposed to be from sundown on Friday, and last until sundown on Saturday night. That's what it was supposed to happen. That's the way that the Sabbath was supposed to happen. When the Sabbath had passed, think about all these ladies had witnessed at that time. The horrors of the trials, the mockery, the kangaroo court that they had to endure as false witness was brought against their Lord and their Savior and their Master and their Rabbi, the scourging of their teacher and their Rabbi, the one they called Messiah. They went, when the sun went down, they were finally allowed to go on Saturday. They were allowed to go and purchase spices so that they could anoint his body. They couldn't even anoint his body before the burial because the sundown had already happened. It was happening at that moment. They did not have time to properly prepare him for burial. It wasn't like the Egyptians. The Egyptians, they would embalm their dead, removing organs and removing fluids. They would take all of that. The only thing that the Jewish culture did was they took spices and they would treat the body and put spices all over the body to help get rid of the smell of decomposing flesh. They wanted to preserve that as long as they could. But they weren't even able to do that the first day or the second day. They went and they purchased the spices. They were purchasing spices to cover the smell of the decaying flesh and the one they loved and they cherished. I'm sure that their emotions were high and they were crying. Everybody's like, "You were supposed to be celebrating, Pastor Aaron. You're bringing us down. Hang on. I'm fixing to bring you right back up." But the thing is, the emotions were high. As the darkness of sunset surrounded them, their nerves were on edge. They weren't allowed to go to the tomb in the dark. They couldn't perform the duties that they were supposed to do. But rest assured, the weight of the tomb was crushing them on Saturday night. They had to wait until sunrise so they could serve their Master again. But that seemed impossible. So when sunset happened on Saturday night, they had to prepare for the light under the weight of the darkness. Somebody needs to hear that today. Sometimes you have to prepare for the light in the middle of your darkness. In the middle of your darkest hour. See, it's the preparations that we make in the dark that allows us to experience the blessings that we receive in the dawn. Are y'all catching what I'm throwing down here? Even though it was dark around these ladies, even though the sun had set on the day, even though they felt like there was nothing they can do, they still prepared for the moment that the sunrise would come. And sun, when I say sunrise, you could change that U to an O. Come on, somebody. They had to prepare for the sunrise in the dark. There was no proof that it would come. There was no proof that they were going to receive anything. There was no proof that they were even going to be able to get into the tomb, because they were worried about being able to get into the tomb because of the stone that was in front of it. They had to prepare not knowing what was going to happen. Church, can I tell you something? There are times in your life where you have to prepare in the dark before you ever see the light come into your life. Before you ever see the light at the end of the tunnel. Before you ever see the blessings start coming down. I believe when Jesus shows it to me. No, that ain't the way that it works. That's not faith. Come on, are you with me? I'm getting off subject. I need to get back on here. See, although these ladies were still hurting, they were still seeking to serve their Master in what way seemed best to them. whatever darkness and whatever weight is crashing down on you today, let me encourage you with this. Prepare for your dawn. Oh, come on. Y'all missed a great opportunity right there. I'm going to turn around and preach to these tiles back here in a minute. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever situation you're in, prepare for your dawn. If the doctor has given you a bad report, position yourself for the dawn. Your marriage is on the rocks and struggling, do the work and prepare for the dawn before you ever see the sun crack the sky. When the weight of your addiction is crushing you, don't sit there and just soak in your despair and wish for something better. Prepare for your daybreak. By doing the work in the dark. Think about this. If these women had not prepared themselves for the dawn, the weight of their grief could have crushed them and both spiritually and physically. It was because they kept going. It was because they chose to continue to serve even when he was absent. They were put in the proper position for their dawn. Let me tell you something. You don't come to church because you feel like it. You don't read your Bible because you've got time. You don't pray because you think you need something from God. You do the work in the dark. Even when God feels like he's a million miles away, do it anyway. Even though you feel like you're in a pit and you can't climb yourself out. Can't climb your way out. Do it anyway. Even though you feel like the answer is not on the way, continue to pray. Even though you feel like your healing is still beyond your reach, keep believing in it and having faith that one day it's going to show. Keep believing for the dawn and position yourself for the sun to break on your life. Mark 16, verse 2 says, "And very early in the first day of the week, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had prepared for the dawn. If they had not, they wouldn't have been able to go that morning. As long as we let the weight of our moment crush us and discourage us in the dark, we will never position ourselves to see when the light breaks in our situation. Even as they traveled, the weight of the tomb was on their minds. Their thoughts drifted to the heaviness that they would find when they got there. In verse 3 it says, "And they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?'" They were consumed by the obstacle to their situation. Can I tell you right now, sometimes we pay too much attention to what's in our way. We pay too much attention to what stands between us and God and give it too much weight. These ladies, they were worried about it. They had a reason to be because it had to be huge. The Bible even says that it was a large stone. They were consumed by the obstacle to their situation. To serve their Lord, they needed access to him. Yet there was something in the way. There was this giant boulder, at least a few hundred pounds, that was in the way. And if it was there, they could not get to where their Lord was. They could not get to where their Savior was. I need some help. Come here, Steve. I mean, not Steve. Mike. I don't know why I called you Steve. Come on up here. Come here, Mike. Come on up in here and help me for a minute. Charles, come over here and help me for a minute. I'm getting guys that are bigger than me, okay? Of course, that's not hard to do in here. Get over here. Now, and come on up here, Chris. Come on up here. Chris, I want you to stand right over here. Chris is going to represent Jesus to us because he's a holy man. Ain't that right? Okay. He's like, yeah, sure. Okay. But listen, but these three guys right here, okay, I want you to come over here for a minute. This is Jesus in the tomb. I want you three guys to stand shoulder to shoulder like this right here. Shoulder to shoulder and face this way, okay? What y'all are, they're the stones. They're the stones that are in the way, the stones that are standing in the way between me and my Savior over there. See, as the ladies approached the tomb, they saw the size, no offense, guys, they saw the size of all the stone that was in front. And they were saying, there's no way that we're going to be able to move. They were thinking about that, saying, there's no way we're going to be able to move it. There's no way that we're going to be able to change this. There's no way that we're going to be able to get to our Jesus. But see, Jesus is on the inside. Come on. And he's looking on the outside going, hey, guys, keep coming. Keep coming because I'm fixing to do something. And see, if I came up here and I tried to move these guys, don't let me move you. If I tried to move these guys, there is no way that I'm going to move them by myself. Why? Because I'm not strong enough in my own strength. I'm not strong enough in my own power. I'm not strong enough to move addiction out of the way so that I can get to my Jesus. I'm not strong enough to move porn out of my way in order so that I can get to Jesus. I'm not strong enough to move whatever else, disease or whatever else, out of the way so that I can get to my Jesus. So, and Jesus knows this. So what does Jesus do? You see, they were so worried, we're not going to be able to move it. We're not going to be able to get to Jesus. Because, see, we come into church and we say, you know what? I can't get to Jesus because my sin is too big. My problems are too big. My finances are too strong. The disease inside of me is eating me alive, and I can't do anything about it. But what happens is that Jesus, come on, Jesus, I want you to come over here. And you guys, Jesus moves them out of the way. Jesus moves them out of the way. Move them. He moves them out of the way. It's not our job to move the obstacle. Come on, give these guys a hand. Y'all can have a seat. I know it's a simple illustration. It might even be a little bit silly, but it doesn't really matter because it works. Because my God is not afraid to move the heaviest things. My God has more strength than I do. My God has more power than I do. The enemy's job is to put stones in front of our tomb to try to keep us from getting in, to try to keep us from noticing that the price has been paid, to try to keep us from understanding that it's empty now. But too many of us are sitting there when the sun rises on our situation, staring at where Jesus is supposed to be, and we don't look up. And we don't even realize that the addiction's already been moved. The pain has already been moved. The bitterness from our past has already moved. The hurt from the past has already moved. The things that would stop us from seeking God are already out of the way. And we're sitting there going, how am I going to get to Jesus? See, those ladies could have gotten discouraged on their way and said, you know what, we're not going to be able to move the stone, so why are we even doing this? That's the way a lot of people feel about church. Nothing ever changes in my life, so why do I go? You got to understand, the stones are already moved. He's just waiting for you to walk in and notice that the tomb is empty. Are you with me? Listen. The enemy will do whatever he can. Addiction, apathy, comparison, fear of the future, regrets from the past, bigotry and hatred, even church hurt from those that were supposed to be on your side. He will use every bit of that to stand between you and God. Remember, these women were still dealing with the weight of the tomb, but that wasn't what they encountered when they got there. They were still in mourning. They were still carrying grief. They were still carrying pain. But when they arrived, they noticed something. Something had changed at the tomb. In verse 4 it said, and looking up, again, we're too busy looking down at our situation to look up and see that the stones are removed. We're too busy looking down going, oh, woe is me. I can never succeed. I can never go any further. I can't do anything for God. When all we got to do is look up and see that He's already provided an open path. He's already provided a way for us to step in. He's already provided a way for us to see His face. The very thing that we were struggling with. See, in verse 4, I never read the rest of the verse. They saw that the stone had been rolled back. The stone was still there. I'm going to get back to that. and it was very large. See, the very thing that they were struggling with on the way to their master had already been taken care of. And the nature of the weight of the tomb had completely changed overnight. Are you with me? What once separated them from their task, now, and what stood between them and the one they loved was now moved aside. And there was an open path. Like we talked about Friday night, that veil that was torn in half, there's an open path for us into the presence of God. When that tombstone was moved aside, there was an open path to see where the victory had been won. See, when Christ died on the cross and was risen in the morning of the third day, the composition of the cover stone that stood between you and Jesus changed. You may argue with me and say, but I still have sin in my life. I still have addiction that tries to hold on to me. I still have problems that come my way. I still have situations that come up in my life. I still have people that I don't like. I still have bitterness and hatred. I still have hurt and pain. I still have all of these things. So if it's already been moved, then why am I still dealing with it? It's because of this. Listen, you may argue with me, but look at verse 4 again. The stone had been rolled back. It was very large. Whatever it is that stands between you and God today has no more weight on you than a feather in the hand of God. God, sin has been rolled back. Sin has been rolled back. Hatred has been rolled back. Self-loathing has been rolled back. Depression and anxiety has been rolled back. The enemy may try to remind you about it. He'll say, you still got it. It's still there. The enemy will tell you that, but you got to remember, the position has been changed. Somebody say, the position has changed. See, the stone wasn't gone. It wasn't missing. But its position had been changed to allow access to an empty grave. See, that stone couldn't stop Jesus anyway. You do understand that, right? The stone was not moved for Jesus to get out. Y'all realize that, right? Because in John 20, if you go over and look in John 20, when Jesus visits the disciples after he is resurrected, what does he do? Walks right through a wall. He pulls a David Copperfield. Dun-da-da-da, ta-da. He walks through the wall and pulls that David Copperfield on them. Those of you that are young don't know who that is. He's an old magician. Okay. See, the grave couldn't have held Jesus anyway. The reason the stone was moved was so that the women could see that death had lost its power. The reason the stone would move was because death had lost its power once and for all. See, we can spend time struggling to understand how to carry the weight of our moments and how to move the situations and that separate us from our Savior all we want. But we have to turn our eyes to the problem. When we do, we see that Christ has already moved these things aside that would stand in our way. The strength of the resurrected Savior is greater than anything that would keep us from His presence. Yes, they can still see the stone. You may still have to deal with your addiction on a daily basis and conquer it on a daily basis. You've got to make a decision to walk past it on a daily basis. You've got to make a decision to let go of your bitterness on a daily basis. You've got to make a decision to walk for Him every single day of your life on a daily basis. But the thing is, it's out of the way. All you got to do is walk by it. You don't have to carry it. You don't have to move it. Are y'all with me today? And believe it or not, I'm getting ready to close. Sort of. I think the angel said it best to these ladies. The angel said it best when he spoke to the women. This young man inside the tomb, he's dressed in white, symbolizing righteousness, cleanliness, being washed clean. He was dressed in white. The Bible says a young man. I looked up what that actually meant. It meant someone that was in the prime of his life. Someone like your pastor. I don't know what y'all laughing at. Yeah, I do. But verse 6 says this, and he said to them, "Don't be alarmed." Yeah, right. Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. Come on. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Can I rephrase that for you? Put it in PAV, Pastor Aaron version. What he was saying to them was this. Listen, I know why you're here. Because see, PA version's got a little bit of Southern in it. I know why you're here, ladies. You're looking for him. You're looking for that guy you're looking for the one who was crucified, the one who died a couple of days ago. That's his former state. I'm sorry, I'm getting ready to shout, y'all. Y'all don't know where I'm going. That's what he used to be. I got news for you, sisters. He's gone. He's not there anymore. He's looking at him going, "Hey, listen, he's gone from here. Why would someone who's alive be in a place for dead things?" One last version. Pay attention to what he said in verse 6. "Who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." Who was crucified. He is risen. Come on. Are you catching it? Are you catching it? He was dead. He was crucified. But that description is no longer valid. That description no longer holds him. That description is no longer valid. He has risen. His current state is different than what it was. See, that distinction should mean so much for us. The separation of what Jesus was and what Jesus is where we find the sin forgiving, life changing, course altering, devil stomping, purpose giving power in the weight of his resurrection. It is the fact that he was crucified. He was crucified, but now is risen that overbalances the scales in our favor. The weight of his death was finally defeated and has no, the weight of death was finally defeated and has no hold on us anymore because Jesus took his power, no longer feared, no longer lording over us. Jesus ripped the devil's teeth out. Y'all may be saying, "What in the world are you talking about?" I know I'm screaming, y'all. Y'all please forgive me. But I'm excited about my Savior. See, I've always said, the devil's like a chihuahua. Okay? Any of y'all ever heard me say that? The devil's like a chihuahua. Any of y'all ever had a chihuahua or been around a chihuahua? They are some yappy dogs. And they will bark at you. Time and time and time again. You tell them shut up all day long. They ain't going to say it. They ain't going to do it. They're going to do what they're going to do. You can sit there and tell the devil shut up all day long, but he's going to be in your ear. Yip, 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 yip. But you know what? When Jesus rose from the dead, when he was resurrected, see, there's a difference between rising from the dead and resurrecting. See, Lazarus was risen from the dead. The there was some other people in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament that were risen from the dead. The widow's son that was risen from the dead. Being resurrected is different. This is not even in my notes, y'all. I may not even go back to my notes. But the difference is this. When you're risen from the dead, you're risen in your old body, in your own life. Those people had to die again. But my Jesus wasn't risen. He was resurrected. My Jesus was brought back in a new form. My Jesus was brought back in a glorified form so that he would not go through death again. So that he wouldn't, because death never had a hold on him. Death never had its grip on him. He was resurrected in the new life of eternity, to where he is right now. He is not, see, he was dead, but he is. He wasn't resurrected. He is resurrected at this very moment and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Come on, are you with me? Stand with me today. Some of y'all going, wow. I want you to understand something today. Don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let the enemy fool you today. Don't let him put an obstacle in front of your tomb, your Savior's tomb. Don't let him put an obstacle between you and your God. He will try to convince you that the weight of your sin and your situation is too great for you to move. He's a liar and he's a thief that will do anything to tear you down. Because I got news for you. The empty tomb is greater. The empty grave is greater than any weight the enemy will put on your shoulders. The ways of the enemy that would separate us from our once crucified and now risen Savior and resurrected Savior will never be greater than the weight of his resurrection of the tomb. From the tomb. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know if I did a good job representing Christ today in this or not. All I can do is I can tell you this. I've presented you with the Word of God. Do I scream and shout a lot while I preach? Yeah, because I get excited about what I preach about. Because I know the truth that's happened in me. I know the forgiveness that's happened inside of me. I know the greatness that God has had inside of me. That's why I get excited. And I look in this room right now and I see people that the enemy is attacking and trying to tell you that you don't have to go any further with God. The weight of your sin is too great to bear. The weight of your past is too big. The pain of your past is too strong. Even while I was preaching, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm feeling this in my heart and in my spirit today. Even while I was sitting there speaking and preaching, some of y'all were sitting there going, he ain't got to yell like that. He ain't got to do this. He ain't got to do that. And the enemy was trying to yap in your ear, trying to tell you, listen, find fault, find fault, find fault, find fault, find fault, find fault in what's being said. Find fault what's in being done. Right now, the enemy is still yapping in your ear, trying to tell you, you don't need to listen to this because you're okay. You're a good person. You've got good in your life and you've got good going on. Don't give God everything that you've got because you just mess up the balance. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be in this room today. And right now, the reason why you don't celebrate today is because you don't live in celebration of the resurrection. You're too busy looking at your problem. You're too busy wondering about who's going to move my sin. Your sin's already been taken care of. Your situation has already been solved. All God asks, so will you come and see where he used to lay? Because he's not there anymore. Will you put your faith in him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you say, you know what, Pastor Aaron? I need to go to the empty tomb today. I've been living like the tomb had something in it. God needs to come into my life today. If that's you and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to say, I want to know Jesus and the resurrection power that he has. I want to know how he can raise me. If that's you, I ask you to raise your hand real briefly and put it right back down. Anybody in the room? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? That's about six people that have raised their hand and said, I need to know Jesus today in his power and his resurrection. Right now, I'm going to ask everybody in the room to lift up both hands. I know it may not be your nature to do this, but this is a sign of surrender. It's a sign saying, God, I give you everything. So today, Lord, we stand here with our hands lifted up and we give you praise. God, we know we can't give you the praise that you deserve. But today, Lord, we say thank you for your blood. We thank you that your body was broken for us. We thank you for the blood that was shed for us. But Lord, we thank you for an empty tomb. All the rest of the religions in this world can go and point to where their prophet lays. But we serve a resurrected Savior who sits at the right hand of the Father and who is pleading for us right now. And today, Lord, we say we want to know you more. We want to know you and your resurrection power. Now I'm going to ask everybody in the place to say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, today, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross. And thank you for the empty tomb. Because now, I am free because of that empty tomb. I am made whole because you are resurrected. And I will be with you one day. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Can we give God praise? Some of y'all may be sitting there going, that is the weirdest altar call I've ever been involved in. Hang around a little bit weird, little while. It may get weirder. Because it's not about flash and show. It's about a changed life. Listen, I want this place filled to the brim with people who love Jesus. But I also want there to be room for people that need to know him. It's not about people in the seats. It's about lives at the altar. It's about lives being changed. Listen, we love you. Thank you so much for being here today. I know you've got things to do. I do want to remind
you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.